From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. Indonesia climbed up a notch to fourth position in the latest ranking of Asian member states exporting different commodities to China last year. Indonesia improved its ranking owing to a 10.1% increase in its export to China to reach $37.4 billion last year. Indonesian Ambassador to China, Jauhari Oratmangun, told Antara in Beijing on Thursday that Indonesia still have to struggle and work hard to increase the export of value-added products of China, so it can improve the achievement and performance in 2021. Last year, Indonesia's export to China were below those of Vietnam at $69.5 billion, Malaysia $66.7 billion, and Thailand $43 billion. Quoting data from the General Administration of Customs of the People's Republic of China, or GACC, the ambassador remarked that the China-Indonesia trade was valued at $78.5 billion last year, with Indonesia's import from China reaching $41 billion, down 10.1% as compared to the year earlier. People's Consultative Assembly MPR Deputy Chairman Sharif Hasan urged the government to increase security in North Natuna's water adjacent to the South China Sea, where China, the U.S., and other countries are embroiled in disputes. The government must pay special attention since the North Natuna waters, the outermost area of Indonesia, should be defended, Hasan noted on Thursday. The MPR deputy chairman explained that if tensions continue, an open war could erupt in the South China Sea. Hence, Indonesia must remain vigilant since if an open war broke out, the entire Southeast Asian region will feel the impact. Hasan highlighted the need to not underestimate the feud since China had made unilateral claims against the South China Sea based on the nine-dash line, whose coordinates were never known, thereby resulting in the United States and Britain also intervening. Indonesia's most active volcano, Mount Merapi, belched hot ash clouds sliding up to 2,000 meters in the southwest direction, or the upstream of the Kali Krasak and Boyong rivers on Thursday. The initial eruption of pyroclastic clouds took place at 10:13 a.m. local time and had been recorded on a seismograph with an amplitude of 69 millimeters and a duration of 175 seconds. The Center for Geological Disaster Research and Technology Development, BPPTKG, reported on its official Twitter account on Thursday. Based on the observation data recorded on Wednesday, Mount Merapi, located between the province of Central Java and Yogyakarta, spouted hot clouds 58 times with a sliding distance of up to 3,000 meters and spewed materials avalanches 4 times with a maximum distance of 800 meters towards the southwest. Let's move on to the international news. China toughened its language towards Taiwan on Thursday, warning after recent stepped-up military activities near the island that independence means war and that its armed forces were acting in response to provocation and foreign interference. Taiwan claimed by China as its own territory reported multiple Chinese fighter jets and bombers entering its southwestern air defense certification zone last weekend, prompting Washington to urge Beijing to stop pressuring Taiwan. China believes that Taiwan's democratically elected government is moving the island towards the declaration of a formal independence, though Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen has repeatedly said it is already an independent country called the Republic of China, its formal name. The United States should act first by returning to World Power's 2015 nuclear deal with Iran that it ditched in 2018. The Iranian foreign minister tweeted on Thursday after Washington demanded Tehran reverse its breaches of the patch first. New U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken reaffirmed on Wednesday that President Joe Biden's policy that Tehran must resume complying with curbs on its nuclear activity under the deal before the United States rejoins the patch abandoned by former President Donald Trump. The JCPOA is the nuclear deal's official acronym, and Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif was again accusing Washington of having illegally barred humanitarian imports to Iran after Trump reimposed sanctions on Iran, while Tehran had breached limits on uranium enrichment activity only in response to Trump's repudiations of the accord. The World Health Organization Europe Director's Hans Kluge said on Thursday that vaccine manufacturers were working non-stop to plug shortfalls in supplies to countries struggling to contain the COVID-19 pandemic and urged them not to jostle for deliveries. Solidarity does not necessarily mean that each country in the world starts vaccinating at exactly the same moment. The good understanding is that no one is safe before everyone is safe. Asked about delays in expediting Pfizer's and AstraZeneca's vaccine to patients across the 27 nations European nation, Kluge and WHO Europe vaccination expert Siddhartha Datta appealed to governments and manufacturers to cooperate in addressing teething problems in the rollout. More than half of the world's airline pilots are no longer flying for a living amid the plunk in demand during the coronavirus pandemic. According to a new survey, and those that are still flying feel less valued by their employers. A poll of nearly 2,600 pilots by UK-based Goose Recruitment and industry publication Flight Global, released on Thursday, found only 43% were doing the job they had trained for. With 30% unemployed, 17% furloughed, and 10% in non-flying roles. Many pilots that are still flying have faced deteriorating working conditions. For the unemployment pilots in the survey, 84% said it was due to the pandemic. Before COVID-19 hit, there had been widespread pilot shortage that had driven up demand for aviators and led to improving pay and conditions. Now, 82% of unemployment pilots will take a pay cut for a new opportunity. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on January 29, 1950, the death of General Sudirman. Great General Sudirman passed away in Magelang on January 29, 1950, at the age of 34 years old. Before he died, Sudirman led the guerrilla against the Dutch colonists from jungle to jungle while battling against chronic TBC. His last position was Commander-in-Chief of the Indonesian military. Sudirman's death was mourned throughout Indonesia, with flags flown at half-mast and thousands gathering to see his funeral convoy and procession. He continues to be highly respected in Indonesia. His guerrilla campaign has been credited with developing the army's esprit de corps, and the 100-kilometer-long route he took must be followed by Indonesian cadets before graduation. On December 10, 1964, he was declared a national hero of Indonesia. Now we move to an event on January 29, 1996, when France halted nuclear tests forever. On January 29, 1996, the French government finally decided to halt nuclear tests in the South Pacific. The decision was taken a day after France exploded its sixth and biggest nuclear test in the region. Due to the test, which was held again in June, there were boycotts of French products all over the world. Having been opposed at home and abroad, in the end, the then French president, Jacques Chirac, gave in. In the same year, France signed an agreement of a nuclear-free zone in the South Pacific. In addition, France also signed Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, which unconditionally ends all future tests. We end Today in History with an event on January 29, 2013, when SCAT Airlines Flight 760 crashed. On January 29, 2013, SCAT Air Flight 760, a Bombardier CRJ-200 twin jet operated by SCAT Airlines, crashed in thick fog near Almaty, Kazakhstan. All 16 passengers and 5 crew on board were killed. The airplane flying from Koksetau to Almaty collided around 5 kilometers from Almaty International Airport near the village of Xilitu at 13 local time. SCAT Air stated no one was safe from the accident. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Always love you.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vnews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia is titled National Movement for Cash Wakaf Officially Launched. President Joko Widodo and Vice President Ma'ruf Amin launched the National Movement for Cash Wakaf and Sharia Economic Brand 2021 at the State Palace in Jakarta, Monday, January 25th. President Joko Widodo said in his speech that potential of wakaf in Indonesia was huge, including cash wakaf that may reach 188 trillion rupiah. With such a big potential, Indonesia needs breakthroughs, particularly in developing Sharia financial institutions with wakaf system. The utilization of wakaf assets needs to be expanded as well. The president stated that wakaf assets can be managed for economic social purpose that has significant impact to decrease poverty and social gap. Therefore, the national movement for cash wakaf becomes important not only to raise public awareness, concern, and literacy in the Sharia economy, but also to strengthen concern to solve poverty and social gap in Indonesia. Moreover, Indonesia is a country with biggest Muslim population in the world. This is the time for Indonesia to become an example of transparent, professional, and credible wakaf practice which has productive impact for people's welfare and economy. President Jokowi also asked for the acceleration of Sharia economic and financial development to make Indonesia become global Sharia economic center. President Joko Widodo said Sharia economy is applied not only in Muslim-majority countries, but also in other countries such as Japan, Thailand, the United Kingdom, and the United States. The president confirmed that Sharia economy has a huge potential to develop. That's why it is important for Indonesia to grab this opportunity. On the same occasion, Ministry of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati said, Sharia economic and financial system in Indonesia is universal and inclusive, that the development is expected to realize people's welfare through the implementation of Maqasid Sharia principle or purposes in Sharia law. The national movement for cash wakaf is expected to strengthen and develop various initiatives further. Sri Mulyani Indrawati affirmed that the government was highly committed to boosting integrated Sharia economic and financial sector. It is done to speed up, expand, and develop economy and finance to support the national economic security. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia.
Ini
tak lelahkan hatiku,
rasa ini
tak pernah padamkan rinduku,
namun sebaliknya rasa sayangku tercurahkan semua hanya untukmu. Sampai matiku kena kesatu untukmu.
You're the one for me.
mata hatimu mengarah. Please baby jangan marah-marah, cintaku takkan pernah berubah. Ku percaya nanti pasti akan berakhir indah. Pada waktunya cuma kita berdua, dua hati satu cinta saling menjaga. Ini lagu untukmu, cobalah kau dengarkan. Baby I love you till the end of time.
Baby oh,
you're the one for me,
you're the one for me.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listeners, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder will introduce you to Sangkulun cake. Sangkulun is one of Indonesian traditional cakes. This cake is known in many regions with many nicknames. People of Betawi in Jakarta call it Sangkulun. In Jepara, this cake is called Sangkolon. In Bangka, the cake made from sticky rice flour is called Sangkolon. While in Palembang, the Sangkulun cake is known as Jando Berias cake. It has a spongy or grainy surface with a soft and chewy texture. Listener, according to Betawi or native Jakarta people, Sangkulun cake was first made in 1513 to 1514. And it was an offering to King Pakuan. Sangkulun became a cake presented by the people to the palace, or kulun. Sangkulun also became a cake which was defined philosophically as loyalty and offering to King Pakuan. People say the name of Sangkulun is philosophically taken from the understanding of Sangkulun, or palace. Sangkulon cake has long been known as an offering cake for the seniors or influential figures at that time. This cake has a high position because it is only intended for people who are respected or have a high position in society. Then, Sangkulon cake is usually made at major ceremonies, on Idul Fitr and Idul Adha. Sangkulon cake is made from glutinous rice flour, which is mixed with grated coconut and stirred until blended. Then the dough is sprinkled with sugar and added with salt and vanilla. It is then steamed in a baking sheet. What is not forgotten is the cake topping. The ingredients are a mixture of grated coconut, a little sticky rice flour, and pink food coloring. When you eat it, it is sweet, chewy, and soft. This cake is easily found in many regions in Indonesia, particularly in traditional markets. The price is relatively cheap, around 1,500 rupiah to 2,000 rupiah per piece. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Rahma. Bye for now.
Percaya, sadarkan kau.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
When experiencing a ship accident, the biggest threat that causes someone's death is hypothermia, which will lower body temperature. So far, there has been no help with this problem because the boys on the market generally do not have a safety system to maintain body temperature. From this problem, the student team of the 10 November Institute of Technology, ITS, who were members of the Damage Evo 1 team, invented anti-hypothermia life vests, or high life. High life is a buoy innovation that can be used to prevent hypothermia in ship accident victims at sea, because it is equipped with a heater. According to Ferdina Ramadansyah, chairperson of the Damage Evo 1 team, high life can be a new innovation in the field of safety, which is expected to reduce the death rate due to ship accidents. High life uses three sensors that have been placed at certain points. The sensors will detect the victim's body temperature and the environment. The temperature reading is obtained from the area around the heater close to the skin of the body, where the heater is placed on the chest and back of the float. According to Ferdi, when the float sinks, the heater will be immersed in water. Therefore, if the environmental condition of seawater and the body, for example, are detected at around 32 degrees Celsius, the heater will turn on continuously. While heating the body from the influence of the heater, the sensors continue to read the temperature, and when the heater's heat has made the ambient temperature reach 55 degrees Celsius, the heater will turn itself off. Thanks to their creativity, Ferdi and four other colleagues led the high life float to win a gold medal at the Indonesian International Applied Science Olympiad in the Applied Physics and Engineering category. That was Miscellany.
Yang lain karena kamu.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a regional song from West Java entitled Bandung Priangan, to be sung by Sahrul Gunawan and Abil Jatnika. The song Bandung Priangan tells about the beautiful attraction of Bandung City, its culinary, and also friendliness of the people who always smile. The song created by Yayan Jatnika was released in 2020 and arranged by Adi Gunawan with pop music, which was accompanied by traditional Sundanese instruments such as gendang. Here is Sahrul Gunawan and Abil Jatnika with the song entitled Bandung Priangan.
Daerah Bandung nubi hari sasakala sang kuriang parahyangan katela. Thank you.
kasema gandang lalenjang upami midang du mojang
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda.
Now we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.bianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at voiindonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.